I want to use these to minister on the subject, The Tale of Two Christmases. The Tale of Two Christmases. In this, what we call, the world knows, really just the Christmas passages, in this season, like to minister on very familiar passages. When we talk about Advent season, we're really talking about the wise men. We're talking about Isaiah 7, unto us a child. You know, all the dynamics of Christmas. And I want to look at the subject, the tale of two Christmases. Look at somebody, just say, the tale of two Christmases. And one thing that I've noticed in this Christmas season, this Advent season, is that many times we can kind of rehearse this season. We've had so many, especially those that got gray hair. You understand what I'm saying? We've seen so many of these that we can go through the motions of hearing these the scriptures about the birth of Jesus Christ. But we have to be careful to understand that whenever we're preaching on that arrival and we're preaching on Christmas, there's always nuggets in there to change your life. There's always scriptures that should mean something to you in your walk and to your faith. That really our Christianity is founded on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, but you would not have the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ if you didn't have the birth of Christ. And so we've got to understand that when we look at these, we've got to allow these scriptures to minister to us, because there are some powerful passages that we hang on to in our Christian walk that are truths in our life. We're familiar with when Isaiah calls him, he says, and his name shall be Emmanuel. Matter of fact, let me look at that. Put Isaiah 7 and 14. I know we're not looking at that, but I want you to understand that when we are preaching on Christmas, it should really do something in our life as a believer, not just in this season, but every day of your life. Because there are some truths in here that just really cause you as a believer to just hang on to what God has for your life. I like this. This is in Isaiah 7, 14. He says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, but not just a son. He could have left it there, but he says, and he will be, and we'll call him Emmanuel. Somebody say Emmanuel. Because Emmanuel, we know Emmanuel just simply means God with us. And when you hear that every Christmas season, it should just resonate more and more in your life that you have an Emmanuel for God, that you have a God who is with you. You don't just have a God who is in heaven. You have a God who is with you right now wherever you are. And I think sometimes we take those scriptures and moments for granted, but when I hear Emmanuel, it changes my walk and my approach in life, because I know that no other religion has an Emmanuel. No other religion or faith-based group has a God who is with them. Because that's what Emmanuel means, is that you don't just have a God in heaven, you got a God who's with you right now. You have a God. See, I don't know if that makes sense to you, because, it touches you the way it touches me, because when I think about my God being in heaven is one thing. Stay with me. This is why the power of the Trinity is so powerful, because when you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you got the whole package. And when we have, as I said last week, when you have the Holy Spirit here, you have the essence and the presence of the Father and the Savior all wrapped up. And that means that, listen, that every day of your life, when you wake up, Emmanuel is sitting at the foot of your bed. When you lay down, Emmanuel is sitting at the foot of your bed. When you travel to the doctor's office, you got Emmanuel in the back seat of your car. When you walk into a courtroom, you got Emmanuel sitting right next to the judge. Any place, any time you got to go in for chemo, let me tell you, you got Emmanuel sitting right there at chemo with you. When you're going through something in your life, you don't just have a God who's sitting in heaven. You have a God who is Emmanuel, who's with you. And church, I don't know if it does anything to you like it does for me, but to know that I have a God who says, I will get into the fiery furnace with you, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't have a God who was sitting in heaven while they were going through hell. They had a God who said, I'll be right there with you in the fire. And I don't know who may need to just hear about Emmanuel this morning, but you need to know whatever you're going through, he's right there with you. Whatever you're facing in your life, he's right there to say, I'll walk with you, I'll hold you, I'll talk to you with you, I'll carry you through it. But I thank God we have Emmanuel. Look at your neighbor and say, we got Emmanuel. Yeah, I like that, because that means every circumstance, we have a God who's with us. This is why people talk about loneliness. Don't ever feel lonely. And I'm not minimizing that, but you got to understand, when you understand Emmanuel, you understand you can walk and talk with him all day long. You can walk and just talk with Emmanuel. You should never feel alone when you understand Emmanuel. You should never feel lonely when you understand Emmanuel, because baby, I can talk to him all day long. I can feel his presence all day long. And we have too many people battling loneliness. I came to tell you, loneliness is a trick from the pit of hell, because God will never leave you nor forsake you. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. His name is Emmanuel. All you got to do is walk through your day and say, Emmanuel, thank you for being here. And he will take care of every need in your life. See, this is why I get excited about Christmas, because I'm reminded. See, I remember this. I may have shared this about my kids. You know, when they were growing up, you know, teaching them how to swim. I still remember this. It's amazing because, you know, when they used to swim, they would get afraid of the deep end. It was something about when they learned how to swim, they can swim in the shallow end like a champ. But you take them to the deep end. And when they got to the deep end, it's amazing because they would be afraid to swim. And I used to say to them, it's the same water here as it is over there. And when they were swimming the shallow, their feet never touched the ground. They just swim like a champ right there. But when they got into the deep waters, my daughter would always say, she'd say, Dad, I need you to get in the water with me. And I said, why do I need to get you? She said, I just need you to get into the water with me. And what happened is she just needed to know whenever she got in the deep end, as long as Daddy was with me in the water, everything makes me feel okay. And I believe that's how Emmanuel is. When life gets deep and when you get in deep waters, listen, all I need is the comfort to know Emmanuel is with me. I may be in it, but I'm going to be all right knowing you're with me in the deep ends of life. And I don't know who's in deep water this year. I don't know who's been in deep water in 2019, but baby, Emmanuel is with you, and when he's with you, he's there to comfort you in everything you're in. Touch your neighbor, say, he's with you in the deep end. Emmanuel. See, it just gives you a comfort to know God is with you. It really does. If you've ever been there and you had to go through anything, it's just a comfort to know if everybody else leaves the room, I could just lay there and say, God, I thank you, you're with me right now. God, when you're laying down and fear tries to run through your mind, it's just comforting to know I can say, God, I thank you that you're right here with me right now. And when you're going through anything, you got a God who's not just sitting on a throne, but he made it possible for him to, somebody shout Emmanuel. That's good stuff right there. And not only is he Emmanuel, but I like it when it says, unto us, a Savior is given. Give us Isaiah 9. It's just certain things about this Christmas season, we cannot run through it. Watch what it says. I like this right here. For to us, this verse said, for to us, a child is born. You notice what it just said? It said to us. Not to Mary. It said to us, a child is born. See, now I like this because when it says to us, to understand the terminology of the writer, he's letting you know that you have a child, this Savior that is born to us, meaning he's just like us. That's why it's not saying to Mary, because he is born to us, meaning he's just like us to understand us. And see, not only is God with you, God help me, but God was unto us, meaning God understands us. See, it's one thing to have a God with me, but it's another thing to have a God with me who now understands me. See, because what I discovered is people can tell you they love you, but you can't love somebody you really don't understand. And what God did is when he came and he was born to us, unto us, that means that he came and he became like us so he can understand us. Watch the investment of what God decided to do. He said, I'm not just going to come down there and be with you. I'm going to come down. I'm sending my son down so now he can understand you, not just be with you, but understand everything about you. Come here. Because it's amazing, because the one thing about our Savior is he's walked in every place you've been in. And where that's powerful is when God can understand you as a person, as a human. He's been through every situation. This is what Christmas tells us when it says, for to us a child is born, meaning to us, someone who understands our humanity. And church, I don't know if you know, but that feels good to know that my Savior has gone through everything I've gone through. No, I want you to understand this. Every feeling you felt, every emotion you felt in your body, your Savior has already gone through it and he's already experienced it. Now, what does that mean to me? That simply means that whenever you go through something, you've got somebody who's always understanding what you're going through. You know how you always say, I wish somebody understood what I'm going through. But listen, you got somebody who understands what you're going through. He understands what it's like to lose somebody. He knows what it's like to feel like quitting. You have a Savior who knows what it's like to be rejected. You have a Savior that knows what it's like to go without and feel like there's lack. You have a Savior that's had people stab him in the back. You have a Savior that's been lifted up. You have a Savior that's been down low. You have a Savior that's been tempted like you've been tempted. I don't know if you've ever been tempted. I'm just going to preach my life. If you've ever been through any type of temptation, isn't it amazing you can look back and say, God, not only are you with me, but you understand what I'm feeling right now. See, y'all getting too holy because you're thinking about your temptations right now. You're thinking about what you've been tempted to do, but that's the amazing thing of an amazing God is every temptation you face, he's already faced it. Okay, it's about to get deep for a minute. Because there's so many struggles and temptations and issues in the room, you think my God didn't have what I have. No, he had what you had. We forget that he was all God and all man all at the same time. He had on flesh just like you had on flesh. And flesh didn't go away when it got on Jesus. Come on, somebody. The same way your flesh wants to smoke, his flesh wanted to smoke. The same way your flesh wanted to get drunk, his flesh wanted to get drunk. The same way your flesh wanted the opposite sex, his flesh wanted the opposite. Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing to me. And for those that say the same sex that wanted the same sex, he's the same God who had that same temptation in his life. Oh, y'all struggling right now. Y'all struggling. Because it's amazing we talk about people, homosexuals, lesbians, but you got to understand your Jesus was tempted like everybody else was tempted because he needed to feel the struggle. He needed to know what it was like. And now that he knows what it's like, come on, somebody, he can step in your temptation with you and he can understand your humanity. You had a Jesus that said, I may think about taking my life, but he understands when you go through that as a child of God that, listen, it may be better that I die and not wake up tomorrow. He can say, I went through that temptation, but I came through that temptation, and if I came through that struggle, you can come through that struggle. Isn't it amazing? See, we don't get deep when we go into scripture because the Bible lets us know he went through everything we went through. He felt everything you felt. If you ever felt like quitting, he felt like quitting. Whatever struggle and experience you had as a humanity in your humanity, he's had that same issue in his life. And what's comforting about that is the church folk, when they see you have a struggle, they act like you some type of alien. You know what I'm talking about? I'm maybe not this church, but they're people, and that's why we try to keep all of our stuff inside. You understand? And that's okay. You keep some stuff to yourself. Amen. Don't let everything out. Some skeletons you need to take to heaven. Come on, somebody. Don't give all your testimony. Just give, lest the Lord lead you, but leave some of that stuff. Some folks, I watch that, so I'm like, don't do that. Don't you do that. You better leave that with you and God in your prayer closet. And I'm all about the testimony, how to overcome the enemy with the blood of the Lamb, the word of testimony, but that ain't for everybody. Because some people take your testimony and hold it against you. And what happens is when they hear something that you've been through and you were going through, whether it was a drug addiction, it was a sexual addiction, it was a drink, whatever it may be, it's amazing when people see you, they smile in church, but they talk about you at lunch. Okay, y'all ain't been in church long enough. But I've been around church where people clap, oh, they got delivered. But then when they go to lunch, that's all their conversation is about, is how they knew and I knew something was wrong with them. But they don't understand. God said the same struggle you had is the same struggle I had. So how you going to talk about me when God had the same struggle I had? And this is why I love it, because we have a God who said, I've been sleep deprived. I made decision when I was weary. We have a God who's gone through everything we've gone through, church. And unto us, everybody say unto us. We have a God who understands disappointment. He understands fatigue. He understands every dynamic of my life. We don't have some bougie God in heaven. We have a God who came down, put on flesh, walked this earth, and said, I'm going to experience what you experienced because I love you so much. I want to understand your life. I want to understand why you can't get out the addiction. I want to understand why your mind works the way it works. And now he knows we can sit back and we don't have to say, I wish somebody knew what I was going through, because, baby, you got somebody who was born unto you. A Savior who's been there, a Savior who can understand. So when you see him there, when you're by yourself, you can say, God, I need you to help me. He say, I can understand. I was there. I was tempted. And the same way he came through, you can come through. See, we forget Christmas makes God so real to us. It makes him genuine. See, some people can preach God to a place, and this is why you got to read scripture for yourself. We've got to begin to understand the goodness of our God. Can you understand a God that was in heaven put on flesh to come walk this earth? He put on flesh so he can understand you. He put on flesh so he can identify with you. He put on, that's love right there. He put on flesh so he can understand every part of who you are as a person. And see, and this is why I believe that God is so merciful, because he felt what we felt. And this is why I can't understand why Christians aren't so merciful, because we've all have the same struggles. Every one of us have gone through certain things where we all have been through something. And isn't it amazing we lose mercy once we get delivered? Soon as we get delivered, mercy goes out the window. Come on, somebody. And sometimes you got to look back over your shoulder at your BC days. Come on, somebody. And not just your BC days, but your saved days, and just begin to understand we've got to give people mercy. We've got to give people grace. We've got to understand just because you got delivered 10 years ago, people are still going through the going through. They have not arrived where you've arrived yet. And I cannot stand a bougie believer. Come on, somebody. I cannot stand people who get an anointing or a little title, or you learn three scriptures now and all you know how to stand and shout and move. But baby, don't you ever forget when you first walked up in the church and you sat in the back and you were confused and you walked in fear, and now you're sitting here like you got it all together. You need to give grace and mercy and realize that, listen, everybody ain't arrived where you are today. Look at your row. Say, this ain't the bougie row. It's just me. I'm sorry. This is real life. I've been around church a long time. I've seen the fake. I've seen the phony. I've seen the genuine and the disingenuous. I've seen it all. And I cannot stand bougie believers. I believe every Christian needs to just keep that spiritual MRI record. You know how you get an MRI and it shows you stuff? We need to keep that MRI when you were jacked up. You need to keep that MRI when you can look back over your life and be like, my God in heaven, let me put that back under the bed. Come on, somebody. You need to remind yourself how ratchet you used to be. You need to remind yourself how negative and how unpleasing you were. You were a liar, a hypocrite, an adulterer, a fornicator. You were somebody that had jacked up issues in your life. And now we get people coming in and we forget about our MRI. Come on, somebody. You need to pull that thing back out and begin to remember how good God's been to you. Give me a little bit more, sound man. Give me a little bit more. Here it is. Let me push. I got to get where I'm going, because here it is. This is not even real. I'm preaching either one of those scriptures. But we need to understand and remember that Christmas makes God real to us. He's with us, and he's not only with us, he understands us. That's a beautiful thing about Christmas. And I love it, because I love it. Not only that, but I like the scripture where the Bible says, and I need you to see this with your own eyes, if we go back to Luke. This right here, I could have just preached this and walked up out of here. And it begins to let us know in verse 37. It says, for no word from God will ever fail. I don't know if you caught that when we were reading that. Over in verse 37, in Luke 1, he says, and no word from God will ever fail. I like this right here, because this right here, I might just preach this 3 minutes and we're in the parking lot. Because that alone is enough that if you came in here not right in your spirit, this right here should pick you up and get it moving. For no word from God will ever fail. That's Christmas enough right there. And anytime I read scriptures about Emmanuel or God with us, or we begin to understand that when God comes, see, Jesus coming back is a promise that's fulfilled. That's why it's called Advent. They were waiting on the return. And I love verse 37 says, no word from God will ever fail. I don't know if you're really getting that right now, because y'all looking at me real funny right now, but my spirit is leaping like I'm pregnant right now. Because it says not some words, a word, or maybe it says no word from God will ever fail. Let me make sure you get it. Let me preach to this side. I don't know if y'all need something over here. Listen to me very carefully. No word from God will ever fail. All you got to do is go to scripture, look up what you need, read it, and say, this will never fail. Speak it over your life and say, this will never fail. If you need healing in your body today, all you got to do is open up the scripture and says, his word says that by his stripes I am healed. And now you step back and say, no word will ever fail. Whatever you need in your life, you got to understand not just the prophetic word, but the written word of God. That's why it says the promises of God are yea and amen, meaning whatever you can find in here, a word from God, it will never fail, church. And when God says he will do it, he will do it. God, this feels good right here. This right here, don't worry about my paper. It's just, I need you to understand something. No word from God will never fail. I don't know what promise somebody may need today from your God, from your Emmanuel, from your Savior, from your Jesus, but I got a word that you need to understand. No word will ever fail. If God ever speaks to you through his written word, or he speaks to you through rhema or logos or through a prophetic word, if God tells you your marriage is going to make it, you got a word that will never fail. If God says that you're going to make it financially, you hold on to that word and say, God, I heard you speak in my spirit, and I know that I got a word that it will never fail. And if you gave me a word, I don't care if he gave it to me when I had a head full of hair, or now if I have no hair full of gray, I got a word that will never fail. And I need somebody to understand that's the realness of Christmas. Is that when you get a word from God, it will never fail. No, somebody say, no word. I don't know what you need today, but I need you to get a word for whatever your situation is. When God says he's a God of resurrection, he can resurrect anything in your life. When the word applies, you got to hear me, church. We walk through life like when we hear word from God, it's almost like, okay, let's see what happens. The devil is a lie. When you get a word, you hang on to that word. That's your only job is not to bring the word to pass. Your only job is just to hang on to the word. God says you got the devil has one job is to get you to let go of the word. Your job is just to hang on to the word. And only thing you got to do is when the big bad wolf comes blowing at your house, he's trying to get you to be so afraid that you let go of the word. But all you got to do is just hang on to the word. Just hang on to the promise of God. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if it's the midnight hour again. I don't care the circumstance. Your job is just to hang on to the word, and the word will never fail for your life. We got so many people who they hear something like, well, let's just see what happens. The devil is a lie. You grab that word and say, God, I got it inside. And now my job is just to hang on to the word. Come on, somebody. We're in football season. And whenever anybody gets the ball, the defenders aren't just trying to tackle them. They're trying to strip the ball from them. And when you get a word from God, the devil's not trying to tackle you. He's trying to strip the word for you. And I came to tell somebody on football Sunday, don't you ever fumble the promise of God. You hang on to it. Don't you ever let the devil strip the ball. You get that thing and you run like hell. Come on, somebody. You run like hell and say, devil, I'm holding on to it. When fear comes, keep on running. When sickness comes, keep on running. When negative, keep on running. But don't ever fumble the promises that God has for your life. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm going to hold on to this thing. I'm going to hold on to it. You know how many people have fumbled the ball? Yeah, you ever realize that? I don't know if y'all know football, but you understand, there's some people who just fumble the ball. I'm like, bro, why you keep fumbling the ball? If I'm the coach, I'm going to stop giving it to you at some point. Come on, somebody. I'll give the ball to somebody else who's going to hang on to it. And see, we got people who God says, listen, you can't even hang on to the one I gave you over there. I'm going to give it to somebody else what I wanted to give to you, but you can't even hang on to the one I gave you 20 years ago. I'm going to keep giving you a new word when you fumble every word. Because you got to understand, his word won't fail, but he might give it to somebody else if you won't hang on to it. And you've got to hang on. Somebody say, hang on to the word. Let me get where I think I was trying to go this morning. Because we have a God who knows us. Somebody say, he knows us. He gives us word. He knows us. But here's what I love about him. No one does he know us. But let me get back to where I was going. Somebody's anointing got me off track. Amen. Y'all pull something out of me. But I need you to catch this. Here it is. Is that God knows us so well that he not only does he know us like know us, but he knows what we need. That's the benefit of understanding the whole thing, is that he knows what you need. And here's the thing you understand. He knows how to deal with me differently than maybe he'll deal with you. Isn't it amazing that God does not always deal with us all the same? I mean, think about this. I mean, come on. The one thing about God is he's no respecter of person. Stay with me. If God's going to bless him, he's going to bless him. And if he's going to bless him, that means he's got to bless me. If he's going to heal her, that means he's got to heal her. He's no respecter of persons. If he does it for one person, the Bible says he'll do it for another person. But stay with me. But in dealing with us, although the blessings are the same, the way he deals with us is different. It really is. When you watch how God, that's why I thank God he's not just a God who makes everything generic. He specifically knows how to deal with me. He knows how to deal with your boy, and that he may deal with Amber different over here, wherever you are today. Amen, right here. And he knows how to deal. Can you imagine if we all dealt the same way? Because he knows, because he's human, he knows each and every one of us have different emotions, different upbringings, different way we were raised, different ways. And God says, the way I may deal with you and get you to a certain place is different than how I may get the other person to another place. See, that's good parenting right there. Because if anybody got children, you understand, come on, you may have 3, 4, 5 children, but you don't deal with them all the same. Okay, maybe that's why it's quiet and these kids are out of control. Maybe somebody needs to tell you that all your kids, you cannot just deal with them all blanketly the same. I've learned that that's why you got to know your kids. You can't just go to work and give them an iPhone talking about, I'll see you when I see you. Come on, you got to sit on a couch, spend time with them, get to know your children, understand their heartbeat, because when you understand them, you can learn how to deal with them. See, this is where old school's a little bit different. They just slapped everybody. They ain't asked no questions. Everybody just got it. I mean, even if you didn't do it, come on, somebody. You know how I grew up. Come on. I just remember if they just whoop everybody because I'm going to get the right one. If somebody lying, I don't know if y'all have family like I have family, but listen, well, everybody said they ain't do it. I'm going to whoop everybody. I'm going to get you one way or another. But I believe that in reality, you got to learn how to deal with people individually. And this is what I love about God is he knows us. He knows what he may say to you may not work for me. And what he says to me may actually hurt you, but build me at the same time. And God, when he knows you, he knows how to come into your life and deal with you on an individual basis. And it really is. It's just like, okay, let me take it back to kids. We say we can get that. See, the one thing about kids is when you discipline kids, let me help you. I got 3, and I learned from the old school is that I believe this, that I used to just want to whoop everybody the same. I did. That's just how I grew up. But then I began to realize you can whoop some kids, and they don't even blink. I got one. I ain't even saying the name, but I got one. I remember you can whoop. They just stand there. You get tired, you sweating, like, come on. You know, you just going to whoop them till you move. Anybody ever been there? Like, listen, you act, you know. And the other ones, everybody's just so different. I mean, I got one daughter. I remember growing up, all we had to do was just look at her. As soon as you look at her, she act right. Then you look at another one, she look right back. Like, what? What? And I learned that everything and approach needed to be different based on the child. It is based on the individual. And in order to parent right, you have to know your kids. And that's what God does. That's why it's important that we understand he knows us, so he understands how to deal with us. See, the only thing I know that is universal with kids, here it is. Here's the one thing that I thank God for. It's called iPhone. Take an iPhone from any kid, and that's going to be act right. I don't care. That's the one thing that's universal. You take an iPhone, everybody wants to be right. Come on, somebody. But I see this, and we actually see this in action with God in this very text. This story that we're reading here in Luke, it actually, the Christmas story of Mary and Jesus never really started with Mary. The true Christmas story in the Advent season does not even start with Mary, and we see this tale of two Christmases, God dealing with two different people. And we see this right here in the text is that God knew how to deal with two people, and we can learn something from the tale of the two Christmases, because the same way God deals with us differently, he deals with two people in the text differently. And we look at this story, and God begins to show us how he knows us even right here in this text. And we see the story here in Luke chapter 1 is where the Christmas story of Jesus really picks up before Mary even came on the scene. Before Mary and Joseph was there, the Advent season was right here in Luke. And it starts here right here in this text when we begin to see that God comes to this man and this woman named Elizabeth and Zacharias. And the Bible lets us know Zacharias was in church, and the Bible says the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, was sent to Zacharias. And he comes to him, stay with me, and he comes to him, and he comes to Zachariah in a season of his life when Zachariah's wife, Elizabeth, has been barren all her life. She was postmenopausal. That can help us understand her age a little bit. Come on, somebody. She was barren. She was unable to bear children. And the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, comes to Zachariah while he was in church. And the Bible says he comes to Zachariah, And he taps him on the shoulder, and Gabriel says, hey, Zach, listen, I came with some good news. He says, God has heard your prayers. He says, whatever you've been praying, God's been hearing. I like that right there, because people in church who pray, God hears. Come on, somebody. He showed up in church. God hears you anywhere, but it just feels good because I'm a church person. I like to know that God will show up when I'm in the temple. When I'm in the church worshiping, God can show up in here. But I like it because he comes to him, he says, hey, listen, I'm coming to you, and I God has heard your prayers, and he sent me from heaven, the throne room of heaven, to tell you, listen, you're going to have a son. Matter of fact, his name's going to be John, and he's going to be awesome. He's going to be great. And the problem with Zacharias is when he hears this, the Bible says, Zacharias said, listen, how this going to happen? And because remember, he's like, my wife is really old. Matter of fact, not only is she old, I'm old. And not only is that, but she's been barren her whole entire life. And so Gabriel, when he hears this, he feels a little some way. Gabriel hears this, and he said, hey, this ain't going to work. He says, did you not just hear what I said? He says, listen, I just came because God heard your prayers. And God heard your prayers, and he sent me from heaven, all the way from heaven, to come down here in person. I stand in the presence of God to tell you your prayers were heard. You're going to have a son. His name's going to be John, and he's going to be awesome. And Zacharias says, how's it going to happen? Gabriel is mad. Gabriel is hot. He's feeling some type of way. Gabriel like, don't you know who I am? I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and you're going to question me how it's going to happen. Here's how I know he's feeling some type of way. He said, listen, you ain't going to be able to talk for 9 months. He literally like, man, do you know? I could just see Gabriel like, bro, did you just hear what I just said? I am Gabriel from heaven, and God sent me to tell you that you're going to have a child. He said, how this going to happen? I'm old. And when he hears this, Gabriel feels some type of way, because Gabriel like, man, put some respect on my name. You understand? When I show up, just be like, thank you, God. Let's get it done. Come on, somebody. How you going to question God when he shows up? And Gabriel says, okay, listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to just, you can't talk for 9 months. The Bible says he just muted him. For he could not speak for 9 months. And when you see this, and the Bible lets us know, here's why you got to understand. The only reason that Elizabeth was going to be pregnant is for one reason and one reason only, is because Mary was coming along the way. God said, listen, I need to do the impossible with Elizabeth, because in a few months from now, I'm getting ready to visit another young lady by the name of Mary who's in her family. And I'm getting ready to blow her mind and tell this young virgin that the Holy Spirit is about to come upon her, and she's going to have a child without a man. And what she needs is, she needs somebody who already received a miracle from God, that they said God can do the impossible. And when Mary gets here in a few months from now, I need her to see that I opened up this old womb right here. I blew the dust off this thing, and life came out of it post. Oh, God. So understand, the only reason that Elizabeth was getting pregnant was so when Mary got there, that Mary would see God can do that with you. Then that means what he said to me, he also can do. He knew that Mary was going to need some encouragement 9 months from now. And that's the only reason that he came. Watch this right here. I feel it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Because what God was doing, oh, God, there's so much right here. The only reason that Elizabeth received a miracle was because of Mary. I want you to hear this. The only reason that he opened up her womb was not to bless her, but to bless somebody else. Church, I need you to hear something right now. That sometimes the blessing in your life is not just because of you, it's because of somebody else that God is getting ready to bring into your life that you don't even know about. And when God does it for you, it's going to bless somebody 20 years later. And when they get there, they're going to hear your story. And guess what they're going to say? That's what I needed to hear to encourage me and where God is taking me. Watch this. Can I push it? Can I push it just a little bit deeper than that? I like it, because not only was he using her, but watch this, he was going before her. Isn't it amazing? Mary was somewhere at this point, don't know nothing from nothing. Mary just sitting there minding her business. Watch this. She don't even know the blessings come in her life, and she don't even know the trials that are getting ready to come into her life. But watch this. God. Mary's sitting here, but God is over here working something out for Mary. Okay. He's over here. Mary's somewhere in Bethlehem. Don't even know nothing about a Holy Ghost or a child at this point. But God is over here working stuff out for her, so when she gets here, she don't even know what's coming, but when she gets here, God says, I'm already working it out for you. Okay, y'all missed it. Because y'all don't know the end of the year is almost here. We sitting up in here at church. And we sitting here, I think it's December 14th or 15th. I don't know what the date is, but we sitting here on December 15th. And we sitting here just preaching and enjoying God's goodness. But watch this right here. The angel of the Lord is in 2020 of June right now. He's sitting here just working stuff out. We don't even know what's coming on, but God says, I'm working stuff out for them right here. They're going to get laid off, but they're going to walk into another opportunity. They're going to get sickness in their body, but I got healing right there. They're going to lose that house, but I got a connection. And while we're sitting here, God is down there working stuff out. God, help me. God, thank you, Holy Ghost. That's why I ain't even worried about 2020. 2020 is going to be thebomb.com. I can't even wait to get there. God already gave me some assurances, son, that everything's going to be better than it was in 2019. What you didn't get here, you're going to get there. And I thank God, while I'm preaching to you, he's working out my 2020. God, believe God is in November of next year moving stuff, blessing stuff, so when I get there, I can just walk through the favor of God. And he's already in your 2020. I don't know who needed to hear that, but your 2020 ain't going to be the same as your 2019. God is already there working it out. We sit here being preached to, but God got angels over there working stuff out before we get there. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Slap somebody and say, God is already working it out. That blows my mind. That blows my mind. Mary has no idea she's about to be pregnant. But the angel of the Lord is already preparing her while she's somewhere in Bethlehem sleeping. She could be in the middle of a mall somewhere, but God says, I'm working stuff out. Just why I thank God that he's God. I don't have to worry about anything because he's already sent angels before me. He already sent them to move stuff. Come on, somebody. He already sent that would-be shooter. He said, okay, I'm going to move them right there, and I'm going to cause a delay to happen right here. And what would have took them out, I'm going to have them delayed about an hour. And when they get there, they're just going to keep on driving, not knowing I already worked it out before they got there. That's why you walk with no fear, because God always works it out. He always, somebody say, he always works it out. He's there, so here it is. Mary's sitting there, and the angel comes, he works it out. He tells Zechariah, he said, hey, Zach, you can't talk. Just be quiet. Just be quiet. And what happens is, then the Bible lets us know, he goes 6 months later. He goes later on, the same angel, months and months later, shows up. Same angel taps Mary on the shoulder now. Months and months later, Zach can't even talk. And the reason he can't talk really is because of Mary. And now the angel of the Lord shows up months and months later and says, hey, Mary. Shows up. He says, hey, don't fear. He says, Lord, the Lord sent me. You've been favored by the Lord. He says, listen, you've been favored by the Lord. He sent me to tell you you're going to have a son. His name's going to be Jesus, and he's going to be awesome. I need you to catch this right quick. The same angel, the same message. It's just a different time. Minister Johnson, come here real quick, real quick, real quick. Sit right here for him. Sit right here on this top step right here. Yeah, just sit right there. It's amazing. I want you to catch this. I want you to catch this. Give me a young female. We got a young female in here. Any young female? Amen. Give me, come. I can't see. I'm gonna go. Yeah, quickly. Just give me somebody young. Come on up here. I can't see my eyes. You got to be careful. I'd be like, come here, and it's a man. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I your pastor can't see. That's why I was like, oh, I need to put my glasses on. Come sit right here for me, young lady. Come sit right here. Come sit up there. Just, I want you to catch this. The angel comes to Zechariah, tells him something. Zach, you're going to have a son. God sent me to tell you, you're going to have a son. His name's going to be John. He's going to be wonderful. He's heard your prayer. He says, how? Shuts him up. Can't talk. Can't say a word. I know all the women, like, when I got pregnant, why didn't that happen to my husband? For 9 months, shut him up. Just get my food. Can't say nothing. Just go get it. Months and months later, he comes to the young girl, Mary, and says, hey, Mary, listen, you've been favored by God. God sent me to tell you, you're going to have a son. His name's going to be Jesus, and he's going to be great. You know what she says? How's this going to happen? I'm a virgin. And the Holy Spirit, the same thing he asked, the Holy Spirit said, you can't talk for 9 months. He said, how? I'm old. Holy Spirit said, listen, or excuse me, Gabriel said, listen, just be quiet. Now, isn't it amazing? She says the same thing. How's this going to be? I'm a virgin. And watch the tale of two Christmases. The Holy Spirit, hey, Gabriel pulls up, says, hey, Mary, listen, don't worry about it. Holy Spirit's got you. God got you back. Don't stress about this. I have a problem. That's the same thing that just happened over there. You came to him and he said, how's this going to happen? I'm old. You came to her and said the same thing. She said, how's this going to happen? I'm a young virgin. I never seen a man before. And he says, don't worry about it. God's got this. Hold up, pause, rewind. Because how many know if you have two kids and you give one a gift and you give another one a different gift, there's going to be a problem right here. Okay, okay. See, this is what I said about God knowing us. Why did she get a different response than the response that he got when they said the same exact thing? They were told the same thing. God heard your prayers. You've been favored. God told me to tell you, you're going to have a son. God told me to tell you, you're going to have a son. His name's going to be John. His name's going to be John. His name's going to be Jesus. He's going to be wonderful. Your son's going to be great. How? How? She gets loved on, he gets rebuked. And when we see this, it is the tale of two Christmases. And as I begin to understand, God began to show me that when he knows us as people, he loves us the same, but he responds different. And he does it because we got to understand that when we see this, see, and it's because God, I really believe, understands us in our intricacies. He understands the dynamic of who we are. But let me give you a picture to understand a couple of things and we go on. It's Advent season. Let me speed it up. Let me make sure you understand. One of the reasons that God muted Zach, but he blessed and loved on Mary. Here it is right here. You got to understand. Here's the first one I want to give you. The first thing I want to give you is negativity is not an option. I need everybody to understand before we get into 2020, all negativity's got to be out of your life. God began to show me. He says, son, when you look at the tale of two Christmases, you got to understand why I dealt with him one way and I dealt with her another way. Because one reason we've got to understand, here's the difference in the tale of two Christmases, is the only reason that Zach and Elizabeth got pregnant was to be an encouragement to this young lady. And what God needed to understand is he said, Zach, I need you to be quiet. Not because of Elizabeth, but I'm using Elizabeth and you in your life to bless this young lady when she gets here later on. And when she gets here, I'm going to put something in her for God, from God, and I cannot have any negativity around it when she gets here. Because what God is trying to tell me is that God has put so much inside of us for the next year and to finish this year. And what God is sending me to tell somebody in this Advent season is before we cross over in 2020, you need to get every negative person and negative sound away from your life. Because what God has in you cannot be around negativity. I don't know if y'all hear me right now. Because what God says is why he muted him is because he was protecting what was inside of her. God help me. And church, one of the things we've got to understand is that God has put some things in us. And God said one of the reasons that we will abort the things inside of us is if we have ourselves around negative circumstances, why God is trying to birth something inside of us. And you got to make sure that you are not tolerated in this season, but baby, you are celebrated in this season. You got to be around people who are ready to pop popcorn when you walk in the room. You got to have people that when you tell them what God is doing inside of you, they're ready to shout with you, run with you, dance with you. God cannot have negativity around what he's birthing inside of you. Slap your neighbor, say no negativity in my life. See, that's why I pray to heaven almost every single day that we have an environment where people are not negative. We're not perfect people. We're jacked up people, but at least we can be positive. We can be positive while we're in progress, and God is working on us, baby. And if you got a dream, I'm not shooting down what God's got in you. I came to lift you up. I came to support you. I came to say you can do all things through God. I came to tell you you can make it even if it don't look like you're gonna make it. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but God specifically began to tell me there are some people who have negativity in their life. And you got to get that negativity out of your life. Because the one thing that will abort what God has for you is when you have yourself that's not an environment that's encouraging to what's growing inside of you. Hear me very carefully. Whenever God puts something in you, this Tailored to Christmas tells us when something is in us from God, he doesn't want us around negativity. Amen. And when he began to say, how that's going to happen? I'm old. And if Mary would have came over there, what she was supposed to have for encouragement, environment of encouragement, would have turned into an environment for an abortion. Where she would have spiritually aborted what God had for her life because she had the age, she was already struggling. How do I believe? She needed somebody to say, I've seen God do it. I've seen God work it out. I've seen God do the impossible in my life. And when your faith gets my faith, see, it stimulates us. And when I see your faith and your faith sees my faith, I'm able to believe God when it's hard for me to believe God. And what God, here it is, because what God was doing inside of her was hard for her to believe. And it was hard for a lot of people to believe. Because here is the thing you got to understand is that even, see, God is putting stuff inside of all of us that's going to be hard for a lot of people to believe. I hope y'all not hearing me right now. We got to understand what God is putting inside of each and every one of us. God is literally saying, I'm putting things in us at real life, things that are so big in 2020, it's going to be hard for people to believe what God is doing inside of you. And what you've got to understand is when people hear it and they get around it, they're going to say, how is that? How is that going to work? And you can't hear all that negativity because it's going to cause you to have doubt on the inside. And I don't know if you know this, but doubt will keep you out of your destiny. Doubt will keep you delayed. Doubt will keep you holding on to something that God tried to get you into a long time ago. I need people around when I say, this is what God said. Just go get it, Pastor. I believe with you. I'm on board with it. Let's just jump. If God says jump, let's just jump.
God, see, that's why, see, when you come to church, let me tell you something about church real quick. When you come to church, this should be a positive environment. If you're looking at me online, I don't know where you go to church, but listen, baby, if you go to church and ain't negative, find a new church. I pray to heaven, the one thing, church, hear me, we're not perfect in here, but let's not be negative in here. Because I can't stand messy saints. Saints can be messy. I don't know if you notice, saints can be messy. And listen, I didn't drive to church this morning to be around some negative people. I did not get up, brush my teeth, come on, iron my clothes, put on some deodorant. I could have stayed on the couch and waited for the cowboy to lose at 2 o'clock. Come on, somebody. Pray for me. But I came to the house of the Lord expecting some positivity in my life. I came expecting some people to say, is that what you really believe? I believe it with you. I want us to be in a place where we believe all things are possible, where we look around and say, I got your back. I support your dream. You can do this thing. I didn't come here and waste my gas to get around a negative, messy saint who got something negative to say when I tell you what God is doing inside my life. Somebody shout hallelujah. Touch your neighbor and say, don't be a messy saint. Don't be a messy saint. Nobody brush their teeth to come here and be messy. Wasting my gas money sitting next to you. Here's the other thing. I gotta go. Here's the other thing. The tale of two Christmases. Here it is. Here's the other thing. Here's what it teaches us. Not only you cannot have negativity. It's not, listen to me, church. It's not an option. I'm telling somebody right now, you need to hear it. Negativity. Taking it over into 2020, it's not an option. It is not an option. Get it out of your life right now. I don't care how you do, get it out of your life right now. It is going to hijack what God. See, people look at certain things and they get negative. And Zacharias was looking at the situation and he got negative. I need people who don't look at stuff in the natural, but can see stuff in the spiritual and get happy. If you look at the natural, you'll always be disappointed. But if you can look past the natural and into the spirit, I need people who can see like me. Come on, somebody. You got to have people who can see like you, people who can drink. If you all you can see is the natural, then you can't roll with us. But I need people who can see the thing you don't see. I need you to be able to look at a situation and actually don't see what's there in the natural, but see what God can do in the spirit and begin to rejoice with us. Because you don't cast vision and dream off what you see. You cast it off what you see in the spirit and not what you see in the natural.
Touch your neighbor and say, negativity is not an option. Give me a second thing. I got to move on. Here's the other thing. Here's why the other thing that messed me up. Because I thought to myself, Elder, watch this right here. I was thinking to myself. Reading the story, I said, okay, God, you gave them. You came to him. You went to her. If we got apples to apples, why did you go to the man, but you went to the wife over here? Same story. But hold up. If you're going to go to Joseph, if we're going to be, this ain't a gender equality type thing. I'm like, you trying to be fair with everybody? What's going on? He told me, son, because that's actually what I was thinking. I was preaching how God is the same for men and women. Come on, somebody. And then the Holy Spirit said, no, that's good, but that ain't what, you can preach that, but that ain't what I'm talking about. Because I was thinking God was trying to show himself as a gender equality God. And then God says, I am that, but I need you to see deeper than that. He says, I came to him as the husband, but I did not come to Joseph. Because in my head, I said, if it's apples to apples, at least go to Joseph. Because if I'm Joseph, I wish he would have came to me too. Because if you know the story, the angel went to her, talking about you're going to be pregnant of the Holy Spirit. Mary leaves, and the Bible says Joseph, when he sees her, he said Mary is found to be pregnant. Meaning when she came back from a long vacation, she was pregnant. And if I'm Joseph, I'm like, if you're going to talk to him, then at least talk to me. We could have put all this craziness to bed. Come on, somebody. Because I know Joseph was feeling some type of way. You know what I'm talking about. And then she's found with pregnant, talking about the Holy Spirit did this. Because I've been like, where the Holy Spirit live? You understand? What's his address? You know, me and the Holy Spirit got to talk. But the Lord began to show me. I said, well, God, if you're going to go to her, then why don't you go to Elizabeth? Elizabeth's the one that's going to have the baby anyway. I mean, why you send Gabriel to her? If you're going to send him to her, send it to the one who's going to actually have the baby, which is Elizabeth. But God says it's not apple to apples. He says, I need you to see this is because here it is. You need to catch this. He says, I came to him differently than I came to her. He says they're different, but they're all the same. Stay with me. Because Mary, I came to her because the Holy Spirit was going to come upon her and it was going to be the Immaculate Conception. It was going to be no man involved. Meaning I needed to talk to her because she was the one involved. Joseph didn't have nothing to do with this. Joseph just had to sit back and the Holy Spirit did everything. But in this situation, he said, I needed to speak to her because she was going to be involved in the situation. I said, Lord, but I don't get it. He says, but you got to remember, son, this is not an immaculate conception. They had to get pregnant the old-fashioned way. Yep, y'all with me? The old-fashioned way. No Holy Ghost. Call it what you want, but it ain't no Holy Ghost, you know. I hope all the kids over there, but the old-fashioned way. And he said, here's what you need to understand, is I had to come with him to him because remember I said, your prayers have been answered. And he said, here's the key. I came to him because this is not immaculate conception. I'm answering his prayer, but he's got to go act on it. He's got to move on it, even though he's prayed for it. Okay, come here. Because I'm going to open up Elizabeth's womb, but he's got to go put some action in. And Joseph just had to sit there, hear me, and here's what God is saying, is that here's what Christmas tells us, church, is that things you've been praying for, you got to go act on it, although you've been praying for it.
You cannot sit back and just say, Holy Ghost or God, do what you do. God says, I had to tell him, watch this, because when I opened her womb, he had to go act on the prayer that he's been praying. And how many times do people, you know, when we pray for God to do something, we sit back and wait on God to do everything. But God says, if you've been praying about it, you cannot put it in my hands and not willing to use your own hands. Talking about I put it in God's hands. Well, God says, yes, you put it in my hands, but I need you to go use your hands and act on what you've been praying about. Because your answered prayer, I'm going to use your hands to bring forth what you've been asking me to do up in your life. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to act on it. We have too many people who say, come on, I'm putting it in God's hands. No, no, no. Put it in God's hands, but God needs you to do something with your hands. And we got too many people. Zach was praying for it, and now God gets there. Zach's like, God, well, how that's going to happen? He said, the reason why I'm telling you is because now you got to go do something. Joseph didn't have nothing to do. And here's what I'm telling us. Many of us are praying for certain things to happen. And God says there's certain things you got to go do while you're waiting on the prayer to come forth. Because many times we pray to God, I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. And yes, there's times we are waiting on God. But while we're waiting on God, you still need to be working with your hands. You still need to be doing something. Too many Christians use the lazy route out, talking about I'm waiting on God. I put it in his hand. And God says, while you put it in my hand, I'm waiting on your hand to go to the plow and do something so I can bring it forth up in your life. Let me give you a side order of scripture. When God brought them to the Red Sea, they were waiting on God to do something. God said, Moses, take that rod in your hand and stretch it over the Red Sea. And if he didn't move his hand, God would have never moved the Red Sea. When they went to the walls of Jericho, they would say, God, they were waiting on God to do something. God said, I need y'all to walk around for a little bit. And when you walk around, then I'm going to do something. They said, listen, I need you to raise Lazarus from the dead. Jesus says, listen, I'll raise Lazarus from the dead, but I need you to use your hand and roll that stone away. And I don't know who I'm talking to. You're waiting on God. But God is waiting on you to do something with your hands. You sitting back talking about I'm waiting on this prayer to be answered, but God is waiting on you to do something with your hands. See, we got too many people talking about waiting on God. If you really looked in heaven and saw what God is waiting on you to do something, there's so many things. We're talking about, God, give me a promotion. God's like, I need you to do something. Make yourself better for when the interview gets there, you're going to do it. See, we got too many Christians who get so spiritual, waiting on the supernatural. But we don't even understand the word is supernatural. He got to do something with your natural. He just put a super on it. What is your natural part? We always say, I'm waiting on God. But what are you doing naturally? You know, it amazes me. Watch this. Every time people are praying for God to financially move, they sit back when it's time to tithe and give offerings. Watch how quiet it gets on one of the sides of the room. I don't know which one. God, I need financial favor. Let me tell you something. Did you know tithing and offering is a form of income? Oh, see how quiet it just got? It is a source of income. See, we always talk about in the Bible that we should have multiple streams of income. Tithing is a stream of income. We have to teach these. The Bible says when you give, it shall be given. That is a stream of income. See, when you sell something, finances should be given. When you give, it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shake. That is a stream of income. And that's the stream of income. God says, I'll bless you 30, 60, 90 fold. And we got people talking, I need financial prosperity. But every time it comes to give, we want to sit back talking about, I'm waiting on God. And God's sitting here talking about, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you to put something in the offering. So when it comes, I can give you back a double portion that will bless your life. Touch your neighbor and say, he preaching good. He preaching real good. See, watch this. See, God is waiting on saints to do stuff. I believe God gets disappointed when we just sit there talking about I'm waiting on God. Whenever you answer prayer, please put my second point up there, media. God is waiting on you to act on it. Everybody say, act on it. You got to act on it. You've got to act on prayer. Here's the other thing you got to understand. You got to celebrate signs. I want you to watch this. The third thing is, the Two Tales of Christmas shows us, is the Bible says, that Zacharias, if you look at the text, Zacharias, when she became pregnant, when he saw that she gave birth, the Bible says he rejoiced. That's problematic. He rejoiced when she gave birth. And the Lord began to show me something. He said, this is the problem with Christians. They cannot shout until the fulfillment of a promise is made. We struggle with the progressive prayer.
Okay, all right. Let me teach you something you probably don't ever know. Let me teach you something. It's going to be deep. This is going to help you. I don't you know if you know this. When a lady gets pregnant, she doesn't have the baby the next day. Did y'all know that? That's deep, huh? See, I don't know if you know this. Typically, it's supposed to take 9 months. And what God began to show me is that this happened. God told him, hey, she's going to have a baby. He didn't say she was pregnant. He said she's going to have a baby. That's why he told him, because he had to act on it. And when he acted on it, the Bible says the next time Zacharias rejoiced was when John was born. And as I saw that, I had a problem with it, because I said he shouted after the birth. But see, and that's many times the only time we shout is when we're fully delivered from something. We only come to church when we finally get the full breakthrough of something. But then God began to say, did you know a pregnancy son is progressive? That when she got pregnant and he finally acted on it, whenever he acted on it, that when she got pregnant, every week, 3, 4 months or whatever, she began to show something. I don't know if you know this, they began to gradually grow. And isn't it amazing that he only shouted after the birth? But the Bible gives no sign of him shouting when she began to show. See, and this is the church, this is the problem with the church. This woman had been barren her entire life. She was already past her natural ability to have a child. And the Holy Spirit began to show me. He said, son, why did he shout after the birth? And there's no scripture him shouting when she began to show birth. When she began to show a sign of something was there, began to show a sign that it was moving towards the birth. And this is where the church struggles, is we only want to shout when the totality and the fullness of something arises. But God says, we've got to learn to shout when you get a sign. We got to learn to shout when God shows you a little bit, when he shows you 1 month and he shows you 2 months. Because too many times people want to shout when you fully get delivered. But baby, I came to tell somebody, God wants you to start shouting when he gives you a sign, when he gives you just a sign. Can you shout the same way when you get a sign about it?
See, the problem is, here it is. See, it's okay to shout at the end, but God needs you to shout along the way. Because when you shout along the way, God says it actually increases your own faith and keeps you excited about every stage along the way.
Okay. See, here it is. See, we're waiting to get fully delivered before we start shouting. Not in this church. Because every time you see progress in your life, I need you to shout. Every time you see a little bit, just go ahead and give God glory. Because before a little bit, there was nothing there. Come on, somebody. Let me help somebody out that may have an issue. Maybe you had a drinking problem, and you drink 5 times a week, and now you only drink 4 times a week. Baby, you better throw a Holy Ghost party that week. Maybe you cuss every other word, and now you just cuss once a week. Throw a Holy Ghost party up in there. Maybe you're struggling with a situation, and what you used to do every day, now you only do it every now and then. I got to learn to shout to God that everything is all going to be all right, because I see a sign. I see progress in my life. God is bringing me to a place I've never been before. And we got to learn to shout with progress. Somebody say progress. If you are sick in your body and all of a sudden you have a day where you feel good, you better tear the walls up in your house and say, God, I know if I'm feeling good today, you about to turn this thing around for the rest of my life, and learn to shout to God. If you ain't had no money, but somehow you got $2 this week, you better learn to tear the house up and say, God, if I got $2 this week, it's a sign that you about to supply all of my needs and take care of everything in my life. Touch your neighbor, say, all you need is a sign. See, the problem is we don't shout over signs. We're trying to wait till we fully get there. And when we fully get there, then we want to act a fool. You better learn to act a fool while you're on your way. You got to learn to act a fool while you're on your way. I'm telling you, see, because remember, they never even had a child. So if they never even had it, if I got a little bit of something, well, I better go crazy. See, and this is why. We've got to learn as church, we can't judge people where they are. Because people are waiting on your totality. All you do need is a personal sign that I'm getting better every day. You may be looking for me to be fully delivered. I'm just looking for a sign that I'm getting better every day in my walk with God.
And can't nobody judge that but yourself. Come on. You know how much you used to do what you used to do. Come on, somebody. Or you know how much you do what you're doing. And baby, if it's getting better every day, come on and just shout. Don't let guilt and condemnation come. Just say, I'm getting better every day. It's getting better. It's getting better. I'm getting closer to the full deliverance. I'm getting closer to the full birth. And I'm about to throw a party all by myself up in here. I don't talk the way I used to fully talk. I may say it a little bit, and I shouldn't say it at all. But baby, I used to snap, crackle, and pop. But now only snap and crackle. I don't pop now. At least I'm progressing towards where God is taking me up in here.
Somebody say progress. Whenever you see a sign, God says, tell my people they need to learn how to shout. That's what Christmas is about. Shout when you see a sign. You may shout by yourself, but shout. Shout is getting better in my life. If you've been going through hell in your body and you just got 1 hour just feel good up in there, use that hour to just tear heaven up. Come on and kick in the gates of hell. I feel good right now. I got my shout back right now. I got a sign from God. He's somewhere doing something up in here. And when you shout like that and you shout over a sign, God will bring you into your full deliverance of what you are waiting for.
Waiting on the fullness of everything before we get happy. When you get a sign from heaven, celebrate that sign. I gotta go. Let me slide this in. Media, I don't even think I gave you this last one right here. But I'm gonna throw one in. I was gonna get out of there, but I'm done right here. Because I don't know if I gave you this, but last thing I'll tell you that the two tales of Christmas tells us is your resume determines your shout. Your resume determines your shout. I believe that one of the reasons he shut Zechariah up too, I didn't put this in notes and media, just I didn't give this to you. I believe his resume is another reason the angel shut him up. Because when you look at these two, you might not be able to tell the difference between man and woman. There's an age difference. He's seasoned. In a good way. Come on, somebody. He's a good season. That's a young girl over there. She ain't lived that much long. She ain't been through all that much. But Zach over there, he done seen God do a whole lot. So when the angel shows up and says, God told me to tell you he's finna do something. When you said, Zach, how that's gonna happen, sounded different than when a young girl says, how this gonna happen. Because you've seen a whole lot. You've seen God do it before. And you've seen God show up before. And you've seen God heal before. And you got the audacity to ask the angel how it's going to happen. He looking at you like you've been there, done that, and got the t-shirt. And when she asks how is it going to happen, she ain't even seen nothing yet. So that sounded a little bit different in heaven than it sounded coming out of his mouth. Because your resume determines your shout. Oh, God, let me help you. That's why I have a problem if Firehouse Youth sounds louder in their shout in worship than we do. I have a problem if our mustard seeds and our 412 and all our sparks in our children's ministry, if their worship and shout is louder than it is in this sanctuary, there is a problem that I have up in here. Because over there, they ain't live but a little bit. Come on, somebody. And there's no way that they should have the greater shout than the people up in here with gray hair and wrinkles and little bit sagging and stuff is dropping. We done seen God do a whole lot. Every time we come up in here, they should hear our roar over there. They should hear a shout from up in here because we're here today and we've seen God do it. We've seen him bring us through it. We've been through divorces. We've been through heartache. We've been through lost jobs. We've been through disease, we've been through poverty, we've been through bankruptcy, we've been through surgeries, and God has still got us today. They ain't been through nothing. We should out shout them, we should out praise them, we should never question God. We seen God do it. Somebody shout hallelujah. I need you to go to five people and tell them I seen God do it. Come on, find five people and tell them I seen God do it. Come on, tell them, I seen him with my own eyes. I seen him with my own eyes. I felt God. I seen him do it.
We don't question God. We just shout. We don't ask. We've been there. We've done it. We've seen God do it before. Why are we questioning God now?
Stand to your feet. We got to go. I believe. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. We got to go. If you sit down, I'm going to preach another hour. I got so much sermon. I ain't out of sermon. I'm out of time. I am not out of sermon. I'm just out of time. Listen. I believe he loved on her because she had no understanding yet. He rebuked him because you seem too much to be acting that way. How are you questioning me? Zach, haven't you seen me do this? What you question me for? You should be shouting right now. Your resume with God is too long for that. Some of our resumes are way too long to be questioning God and not shouting when we should be shouting. Her resume ain't nothing but a snap, crackle, and pop. She ain't been here but a minute. And so I believe the Holy Spirit told Gabriel, love on her because she doesn't understand yet. Rebuke him because he already knows. He's seen the goodness of God in the land of the living. David says, I was young and now I'm old and I've never, let me make sure you understand what David said. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor this seed begging bread. David letting you know, I've seen God do it. And seasoned people that have seen God do it, we shouldn't be questioning God. We should be shouting. You've been there. You've done it. You've seen everything. And I believe God says, Zach, I'm closing your mouth up. You just stop. I sometimes wish. I just sometimes wish, God, just shut people up. Just give me an hour. Because if you don't want to shout for God, then don't say nothing at all. You ain't going to come in here and give God glory, then just, because you've seen him do too much. And when we look at the tales of the two Christmases, it tells us negativity is not an option. Lets us know, you got to act on prayer, and you got to celebrate the signs that God gives us. In church, when you do that, we're going to grow in this Christmas season. And as we cross over to the other side, because of Christmas season, we're going to be better than we've ever been. Every eye closed for just a moment, every head bowed.